a hiding place. Everybody in here ought to see it. It's in the bookstore. Take it home with you. Get it. Take it home with you and watch it. It's one of the greatest things I've ever seen in my life. And it's true. The story of Corrie Ten Boom, how that she was persecuted beyond imaginable thing. You think you got it rough. Get that thing and watch it. And she stood for God, and they titled it after verse number 7 of Psalm 32. He said, "Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance." Selah. I love that verse this morning, verse 7. Thou art my hiding place. Amen. There's three reasons why every man needs a hiding place. And that hiding place can only be found this morning in Jesus Christ. I'm glad I've got a hiding place today. And I'm glad that I know where it's at. I'm so thankful this morning that God somehow had mercy on me and let me find out where the hiding place is. Or I should say who the hiding place is today. What a blessing. I love it. I love it. My heart's love this morning is to know that I've got Jesus to run to as a hiding place. Now, the picture is this morning, kind of like this. Let's imagine. I wasn't going to do this. It just popped in my head. So let's just imagine now that this pulpit is made out of a solid rock, granite, bulletproof. Let's say it is. And let's say I'm standing right here this morning, and a man stands up back there in the back, and he points a gun at me. Another man stands up right there, points a gun at me. Another man stands up over there, and points a gun at me. And I know that my pulpit is bulletproof. You know what I'm going to do? I'm not going to stand up here and say, "Go ahead, buddy. I preach every Sunday. You can't hurt me." You're crazy if you think I'm going to say that. I'm not going to say, "Go ahead, buddy. See them white walls right there? Got my hair cut above my ears. I'm saved, sanctified, independent, fellow, premillennial. I got a King James Bible. Shoot me. It won't hurt." I'm not going to do that. I ain't crazy. I'm not going to stand up here and say, "Well, I preach all the time, and I preach probably in maybe 35 churches a year besides this one, and I travel a lot and have youth camp in between that and meetings and youth rallies." I ain't going to do it. You know what I'm going to do? Son, if that man starts pointing them bullets at me, I'm going to forget every good thing I've ever done. I'm going to forget every bad thing I've ever done. I'm going to forget everything I've ever done and head to that rock. Buddy, I'm heading to that rock just as fast as I can head for it. I'm going to be just like this. Now you can shoot all you want to. And I'm going to be right here because you can't hit me. And I'm going to stay right there till the bullets start flying. And I would say, ladies and gentlemen, this morning, this world's got their guns turned on us. The devil's got every gun he's got turned on God's children. He's out to get me. He's out to get you. He's out to get every one of us. And when that time comes, we run to the rock. We run to the rock. Three things this morning I want to say. I'm going to be quick, so you listen carefully. Number one, I'm glad there's a hiding place this morning from the power of sin within us. I'm glad there's a hiding place from the power of sin within us. If you'll be honest this morning, you've got a battle raging inside you. That old nature still struggles. That old nature still bothers you. Every once in a while I meet one of these people that kind of gives me the impression, or they want to give the impression, that they never have no problems, that nothing's ever tempting to them, that the devil never bothers them. Well, how will old preachers say, if the devil ain't bothering you, it's because he's already got you. If you don't run into the devil once in a while, it's because you and him's going the same way. If you're going one way and the devil's going the other, you're going to butt head once in a while. I want to say this morning, brother, I'm glad that even though we have that old struggle of sin and our sinful nature inside us, you can't do it by positive thinking. You can't master it with your own strength. A lot of people say, "Well, I'll tell you one thing, I've got willpower. And by my willpower, I'm going to master this sin. And I'm going to get control over this thing." I want to say you can't do it. You can't do it. You cannot do it. You can't do it. You can't do it. That's what the world thinks. The world thinks if we build people nice housing projects and put carpet down on the floor and give them a color TV and upgrade their living, that master the sin problem inside. No, it won't. You go back a year later and the carpet's tore up and beer cans laying in the floor and the TV's busted out in the street and reefers laying all over and the cracks in the floor, and it ain't changed me one bit. But I'm glad to say to you this morning, I'm glad to say, when that old sin starts struggling in my bosom and I realize that old sin nature that's still in me, I've got somewhere to run. I run to the rock. I run to Jesus Christ. I come to the Lord and I say, Lord, I can't do it by myself. You're going to have to help me. And if I let it, that sweet, settled peace of Jesus' power settles in over my soul. You say, Brother Danny, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, there's something wrong with your life, friend. You're not a better Christian than Paul. Y'all listen to me? You sanctimonious ones listening to me? You're not a better Christian than Paul. And Paul said in Romans chapter 7, he said, I see a war, warring in the members of my body. He said, that I want to do, I do not. What I don't want to do, I wind up doing. He said, I try to do right, but evil is present with me. You're relating to me, ain't you? Don't you have that same problem? You mean to do good, you try to do good, but that old sin is raging on the inside. I'm preaching just what Paul said in Romans 7. He said, when I want to do right, sin is always there. I make up my mind to try to do better, and I just fall again. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Not a psychic, not a deck of cards, not turning over a new leaf. I thank God through Jesus Christ, my Lord. The rock is a hiding place from the power of sin within. You say, well, I just got so much hate and bitterness and sin in me, Brother Denny. I'm just going to go to a psychiatrist and find out what's wrong with me. Yeah, and you know what they'll tell you? They'll let you talk for 2 hours and they'll say, tell me about your childhood. Yes, yes. And what did you get for Christmas that year when you're in the third grade? And you say, well, I tell you. You say, I wanted this electric train real, real bad. And Daddy told me we couldn't afford it. That's it. That's your problem right there. Something happened to your personality. You didn't get that electric train when you was 9 years old, and you ain't, somebody dropped you on your head when you was little. You ain't never been right since. Now that might be true, but that ain't no excuse for your sorry sin. Amen. That don't put your sorry nature in. Listen, a lot of people try to blame. I read the other day where Hillary said, and I'm not trying to be ugly, don't get mad at me, just an illustration. Hillary said that Bill's problem was that he always had a problem back growing up because his mother abused him. Now I will grant you this. Sometimes what goes in our childhood has an effect on what we come out. But it does not make you do anything. It does not create a sin nature inside you. You're born with that. You're not a product of your environment. You brought it with you when you got here, and you'll have it all your life. And the only time you're going to get rid of that sin nature is when you lay down and go to heaven with that perfect body. You exchange students understanding all this? Are you? Cool. You're doing better than some of these people who've lived here all their life. Every time I go preach somewhere where somebody's doing this, you know, sign language, I'll stop right in the middle of it and say, are you getting all this? And they'll say, ugh. You know, because I'm running around doing things and using words that they ain't no sign for. And I tell you, like yuns. And stuff like that. But I'll tell you, I'm glad we have a refuge from the power of sin within. Secondly, this morning, I'm glad there's a refuge from the power of the devil without. The devil is raging. There's no doubt about it. The Bible said, put on the whole armor of God. Build a hedge around us. Jesus is the hiding place from the seducing spirit. I was telling my wife last night, we was talking, me and her and Corey, and we was talking, and I said, the longer I pastor a church, the more I can see seducing spirits at work. Now the Bible said in the last days that many will give heed to seducing spirits. What is that? It's a spirit that comes and seduces you. Tricks you. But that the day we're living in, there's seducing spirits working overtime in our churches. They've been working on some of you. They've been working on some of your family. They've been working on some of you. Just those whispering, evil, seducing spirits. You know, nobody likes you. They don't want you there no more. You're not need. Just that seducing spirit. And them things can sound just like the Lord. They can imitate God. They can imitate, and they'll make you think they're telling the truth. Some woman will come walking in, and she'll drop her pocketbook and bend over to pick it up. And the devil will say, she done that on purpose just so she won't have to speak to you. And you'll believe it. You know what that is? That's seducing spirits and doctrines of devil. He's working overtime. I'm glad this morning, brother, there's a refuge from the power of the devil without. I want to say this morning, you can't trust your feelings, and you can't trust how you feel, and you can't trust what so-and-so said. You've got to run to Jesus Christ and say, oh, hide me, oh, blessed rock of ages, in thee I hide. Hide me from the power of the devil without. Did you know there's somebody can preach one thing, sound right, and turn the TV channel on, and some other preacher preach another thing, sound right too? Amen? Ain't that the truth? You say, well, Brother Danny, somebody told me this, and I really believed them. Somebody else told me this, and I really believed them too. What am I going to do? Tell you what you better do. You better run to that rock, son. You better run to that rock. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He won't lie to you, and He'll protect you. I believe this with all my heart. You can be protected from seducing spirits if you really want to bad enough. I pray and I say, Lord, let me know what the truth is. Lord, don't let me be led into error. Don't let me teach false doctrine. Lord, if I'm wrong, show me where I'm wrong. I'm running to that rock, son. I run to that rock. And you know how you know you're right? Because that rock will always guide you according to that book. He said, the words that I speak unto thee, they are spirit, they are life. That King James Bible will never tell you wrong one time. Amen. 1-900 you psychic number will always tell you wrong. The reason you know they're wrong is because they never tell nobody nothing bad. I've never heard anybody get on TV and say, oh, guess what? I called my psychic and they just told me I was going to break my neck this week, and I did. See? Have you ever heard that testimony? No. No. People's crazy. You know what? It's hard for me to believe people's as dumb as they are. They'll believe anything as long as, you know what the Bible said? They'll have itching ears, buddy. Just tell me something good. Tell me something pleasing to the ear. Tickle me ears, preacher. Tickle me ears. Tickle me elbow. Ears. Tickle my ears. Tickle my ears. Tickle my ears. Tickle my ears. Tell me something sweet. Tell me something nice. I want to tell you what. You better say it. Tell me the truth. If it's bitter, tell me the truth. If it hurts, tell me the truth. Hide me. Oh, blessed rock of ages. Hide me from the power of the devil without. Do you realize this morning that there are independent, quote, fundamental, quote, Bible-believing churches that'll scoot back the pulpit tonight and bring in big speakers and drums and amplify and absolutely rock the house. You couldn't tell the difference if you was going by a bar, and you wouldn't know if it was a bar or a church, and they also think we're here. It's just contemporary service for our young people. You know what we better do? We better pray, hide us, God, from the power of the devil without. I want to tell you something. Rock music in a church service and people thinking that's worship. Somebody's been deceived somewhere. You don't worship God with rock music. Amen, Brother Dan. Amen. Rock music came from hell. The devil started it. It's his business. It's his music. His own people will tell you that. And listen, the day I quit believing that, the day you done know I got seduced. I'm glad there's a power that we can be hid from the power of the devil without. See, back in the Testament, they had what they called cities of refuge. And these cities of refuge was these certain Heber and Bezer and all them. I've got the names of all of them. There's six of them out there, and they was around the edge of the city. And if a man was out here in the field, and he maybe got hit somebody with a club and killed him or something, they was going to kill him, son. They was going to take his life.
And you know what he'd do? He'd run in there and get inside the cities of refuge. And if he could just get inside that city, if he could just get right there behind that wall, buddy, the law said they could touch him. And he'd stand there like this. And boy, all them men come with spears and swords and stuff like that. We're going to get you. They'd have killed him if they'd have caught him right here. They'd have killed him if they'd have caught him right there. That's why you young people better watch out where you go, what you do. You're no match for the devil himself. You ain't no match for the devil by yourself. There's some that ain't here this morning that's proved that, ain't they? Amen? There ain't no reason for nobody quitting serving God. People make up every excuse in the world. Well, I quit because somebody done this. I quit because somebody done that. There ain't no excuse for you not to serve God. God ain't done you wrong. Quit your lying. Quit your excuse making. God ain't done you wrong. They'd have killed him out here. But son, if he ever gets his foot in here, he's safe in the city of refuge. And they'll say, buddy, you come out here and we're going to kill you. He can go, nya, 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 nya. Kill me, kill me, kill me, kill me, kill me. They can't do it. They can't touch him. He's hid in the city of refuge. Buddy, I'll tell you what, we got Jesus Christ to run to from the power of the devil with that. I can't live right by myself. You can't live right by yourself. We can't stay straight. You know what keeps us straight? Us laying up here on the floor praying like we're going to do this evening. You know what carries us through? Doing what we're going to do this evening. You know what? Boy, I believe it pleased God if about 300 of us showed up at 6 o'clock this evening and just laid around here and bawled for a little while and just said, oh God, would you hear once again? God, would you hold on this place with old-fashioned Holy Ghost conviction? By the way, don't gripe if you don't pray. Amen. I'm glad there's a hiding place. Bible said they overcame him by the blood of the what? They didn't overcome him by their haircuts or how long their dress was. They didn't overcome him by the rules they kept. Bible said they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Number three, and they loved not their lives unto death. Number three, this morning I'll be through. I'm glad there's a hiding place from the judgment that is to come on this world. Son, I'd hate to be them people in Revelation 6. Give me that just a tad, boy. I'd hate them people in Revelation 6. Honest, I would. Well, I used to hear and sing that old song. You don't hear it much anymore, but it's in that old Church of God hymnal. We got some laying over yonder in the tape room. And it said, I dreamed of the great judgment morning. And da-da-da-da-da, you know, and it said, they cried for the rocks and the mountains. They prayed, but their prayer was too late. And oh, what a weeping and wailing as the lost were told of their fate. They cried for the rocks and mountains. They prayed, but their prayer was too late. And that old song, it used to scare me. When I was little, that put the fear of God in me. I could just see sinners running, and I could see them begging for mountains, like Black Mountain up here in Asheville, and begging for rocks to fall on them, and people screaming and looking up and saying, God, no, God, no, no! Find me, rocks! Hide me! I'd rather be dead than face God on His throne. Let me tell you something this morning, friend. We've got a hiding place from the judgment to come. Thank God. Hallelujah! Brother, we can stand in front of God with uncondemned. The Bible said there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are Baptists. There is therefore now no condemnation for them that go to church three times a week. No. He said that therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Let me tell you something, brother. April the 18th, I laid down on that altar down at Nebo Baptist Church as a teenage boy, and I called on God. I got in Jesus Christ. My judgment is past right now. It's already done. You see, you mean God ain't going to judge you? No, God ain't going to judge me. He's already judged me at Calvary. You say, what about the judgment seat of Christ? That's my works. Read it. 1 Corinthians 3. It said, the fire shall try every man's work to see what sort it is. He's going to try my works and I'll get a reward or lose a reward. But my judgment is done, passed, settled, forever settled in heaven. My record's clear today. For He washed my sins away. The old account was settled long ago. Hallelujah, glory to God. My rock is the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God in heaven. Thank God. Where's a hiding place in the judgment to come? Woo! Hallelujah! I'm in the rock this morning. Thank God I'm in the rock. Boy, you know there's people in McDowell County, if they could steal my salvation, they'd take it today. I hate that. I don't know why they hate me. I love them. I smile at them every chance I get, but they hate my guts. But I'm glad this morning they can't get me out of the rock. Amen. Heard about this big old tough fella. He was a bricklayer. You know, them block mason stuff, them boys are strong. Big arms. Lays them blocks. Them brick, he was big and tough. He couldn't even spell Jesus. But he got saved and he started leading people to the Lord. And he started, was a great soul winner for nearly 15 years. And they said he was an old hunter, and every time he'd win somebody to the Lord, he'd put a scratch on his rifle, enemy's rifle, like a notch, you know, when he'd shoot people. When he'd lead somebody to the Lord, he'd put a notch in his gun. And that old boy would say, "They're saved. They're saved. They're saved. They're saved. They're saved." And they said something like one time he or another guy picked up a hitchhiker, and the hitchhiker was deaf, couldn't hear. And when the hitchhiker got in there, tried to witness to him, he was deaf, he couldn't read, and that old boy stopped the car and got down on his knees. And that hitchhiker got out and looked, and that old boy got down, and he took a stick or something and went like this and made a cross in the dirt. And the hitchhiker went, "Yeah, yeah." And then he started pointing up to heaven. Cross, heaven, heart, love, you know, all that. And he said that hitchhiker started crying. Started weeping. Because he realized that there was somebody that died on the cross that loved him. That loved him. Got saved just like that by the grace of God. Listen, you don't have to be an educated person. You don't have to understand the Bible. Somebody said in here this morning, your life is almost ruined by your sin, and I'm pointing to you where you need to run. Remember this pulpit, let's say it's made out of rock, out of granite, and it represents Jesus. I'm pointing you to run to Jesus Christ. One old boy got saved, he is a drunk. And that old boy, he drunk liquor all his life, didn't know nothing about the Bible, and he got saved and started bringing all his friends to church and filling up the rows. And the preacher got up. And he said, "All right now, all you people just got saved." He said, I think his name was Bill or Skip. He said, "Now you need to learn and grow in Christian life." He said, "First thing you got to do is learn that you should, every one of you ought to give a tenth." And that old boy raised his hand in the back and he said, "Preacher, I don't know what you're talking about." He said, "You ought to give a tenth." He said, "I ain't never heard of that. I got 2/5 out in the car you can have." He didn't know what it meant. He didn't know what it represented. But I'm telling you, brother, you don't have to understand everything in the Bible to get saved. He's just as saved as Billy Graham. He's just as saved as D.L. Moody. He's just as saved as Fanny Crosby or Brother Danny or anybody in here. Listen, all you got to do to get saved is run to the rock, Jesus Christ. There's a hiding place this morning from the judgment to come. From the judgment to come. The old song said this. Brother John might get it for us. If he wants something else, that's fine. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. But them some words that you're going to need one of these days. When it comes time for you to die, I hope that you can lay like I'm planning on doing if I get to talk before I die. And I'm going to look at him and say, "Thou art my hiding place." He hides every day. He gives me refuge from the power of sin that rages inside this old flesh right here. He gives me refuge from the power of wickedness and sin out there in the world without. And He gives me refuge from the judgment that will come on this world one of these days. He's our rock. He's our refuge. Let's stand by our heads for prayer.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank God. Amen. Thank God. Let's pray this morning. There's somebody here this morning. You're struggling with sin. I'm talking big time. Alcohol, drugs, money, thievery. I don't know what kind of sin you might be involved in. But I'm going to ask you this morning, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Be of sin the double cure, my soul. Let these words be real to you this morning. If you're not here and you're not a Christian, if you don't know that Jesus Christ is in your heart as your personal Savior, why don't you come this morning and trust Him with all your heart? And if you're a Christian this morning and you're trying to handle sin yourself, you can't do it. You ain't strong enough. Paul the Apostle couldn't. He said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Jesus Christ. Come to Jesus this morning. Lay it all on Him. Heavenly Father, do what ought to be done this morning. Bless these that are here. I pray in Jesus' name that the Holy Ghost would take charge right now. Someone help them to make that step. Lord, there's not a psychiatrist or psychologist in this world that can help them with that struggle of sin that they're having inside their bosom. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can take away sin. Help them to make that up and get it right this morning and get it fixed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.